My fellow plebs, River is setting a new standard in Bitcoin. At river.com, you'll pay zero fees when you dollar cost average. Truly the best way to build your Bitcoin wealth. All Bitcoin at River is held in secure cold storage with 100% full reserves. There's no need to wonder what's happening behind the scenes. Your Bitcoin is your Bitcoin to withdraw at any time. Additionally, River lets you make Bitcoin payments via the Lightning Network, offers a Lightning integration for developers, and allows you to mine Bitcoin directly to your River account. River has a level of service that is unheard of in this industry, including phone support, private client advisors, and the ability to designate beneficiaries to inherit your Bitcoin wealth. River has become the premium name in Bitcoin that anyone can easily access. Sure, you have a place to buy Bitcoin, but have you tried River? See and feel the difference at river.com and the River iOS app, the preferred partner of Bitcoin Magazine. My fellow plebs, today's podcast is also brought to you by Moon Mortgage. As the world moves increasingly towards the mainstream adoption of Bitcoin and other digital assets, Moon Mortgage makes it possible to materialize your assets into real estate. Through the collateralization of mortgages with Bitcoin and other digital assets, Moon Mortgage will be launching lending solutions to allow investors to easily leverage their assets to purchase investments in owner-occupied property. Moon Mortgage's crypto mortgage will be launching soon for home buyers in Texas, Florida, and Colorado, and will also be open to investors in most states across the U.S. for investment properties. Welcome to the future of mortgages. Visit moonmortgage.com today to register and learn more. Moon Mortgage Residential is registered with the NMLS under number 235334. Today's episode is brought to you by Gordon Law Group. If you've tried to do Bitcoin taxes yourself, you know how complicated it is. You can spend hours and hours going through your transactions and researching tax forms, and you're still not sure if it's right or if the IRS will come after you. Or maybe you're so intimidated by Bitcoin taxes that you don't even know where to start. Gordon Law Group can help. Ditch the spreadsheets and feel confident with a bulletproof Bitcoin tax return. They can help with IRS payment plans, and they also provide a full range of legal and accounting services for Bitcoin and digital asset startups. Get your taxes done right the first time with the original Bitcoin and digital asset tax pros. Go to GordonLawLTD.com/BTC. As a bonus, they'll send you the ultimate Bitcoin tax guide for free. That's GordonLawLTD.com/BTC.
Bitcoiners, welcome back to another episode of the Bitcoin Magazine podcast. This is CK. I am sitting down with Aaron and Tristan from Moon Mortgage. Moon Mortgage is a really cool company in the space. They are making it easier to use your Bitcoin. They are making it possible to not sell your Bitcoin and use your Bitcoin as collateral, something that Bitcoiners have been talking about for a long time, to get a mortgage. And they recently went live in three states, and they are going to be expanding across the U.S. I'm really excited to have these guys here. We're going to talk about what's happening in the market. We're going to talk about Bitcoin and its use in collateral. We're going to talk about Bitcoin's price. You know, we're at 30K. Feels good. You know, these guys have been grinding throughout the bear market, just like all of us builders in the space. So, gents, how y'all doing?
Doing well.
Hey, CK. Doing great. How are you?
Doing good. Today's Friday, so, you know, feeling good, getting ready for the weekend, excited about Bitcoin, excited about what is happening in the Bitcoin ecosystem, and excited to be chatting with y'all. I guess, first of all, congratulations on launching earlier this month. Like, obviously, that feels really good to go from, you know, a concept to going through a lot of hurdles to launch, you know, in a compliant way in the U.S. Congrats.
Thanks. Yeah, it's been a fun year and a half. All started with that Bitcoin pitch week at last year's conference. Super excited for this time around as well. We have a booth set up, so everyone's definitely got to come by and say hello when we're there.
Yeah, I mean, what an amazing story. You know, obviously building something, pitching it at the Bitcoin 2022 pitch day competition, becoming successful, building a product, and now you're coming back as advertisers. I mean, I think that is a perfect case study. So that's amazing. And Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to kind of dive into the product a little bit. So let's just start with like a quick introduction. Like, what is Moon Mortgage? What can people in these states I listed start doing with their Bitcoin?
For sure. So we now have two main products, a Bitcoin-backed mortgage, as well as a first ever real Bitcoin loan margin account. I'll walk you through the Bitcoin product first, but say, for example, you want to buy $1 million property. You'd come to us to post $1 million worth of Bitcoin as collateral. From there, we go through some normal underwriting processes and appraisal on the property. Assuming everything checks out, we'll finance up to 100% of the purchase price of the property. And after that, it's serviced like any normal mortgage. So the borrower makes these monthly payments. There is a margin call and liquidation level on the Bitcoin. And that's because we basically use the Bitcoin to act as a guarantee or an equivalent to a down payment. And then, you know, this essentially allows the whole product to fluctuate, to operate and ultimately be, you know, a sellable financial product to the secondary market. Why this is great for our borrowers, though, is it means they obviously don't have to sell their Bitcoin. They can maintain that position. They can add collateral as needed. But what we're really excited about, and this is what we had announced earlier in April, is that we've figured out how to bring trading functionality to this product as well. So now users, when they post their Bitcoin as collateral, if they choose to, they actually have the ability to go to cash or cash equivalent. And this obviously gives them the ability to manage their own risk. And, you know, ultimately, it makes this a really safe and functional product to keep folks, you know, in the asset they really want to be in. Personally, I think Bitcoin's going to outperform just about every other asset class over the next 10 years. So I want to keep my exposure in that asset. But I also want to be able to invest in real estate and own a home. As Tristan loves to say, it's, you know, real estate and Bitcoin are probably the two greatest wealth creation tools we've ever seen. And these are products that allow those two things to really coexist. We've also rolled out a second product we just announced called the Trade and Borrow. And this is basically a Bitcoin collateralized loan that you are able to, you know, borrow against your assets, but again, maintain that ability to trade those assets. So you can go from Bitcoin to cash if you think there's going to be a downturn, or you can go from cash to Bitcoin. It's basically like a Coinbase account that you can borrow against. And again, there's a margin call and liquidation on that, but you get the ability to manage your own risk.
Gotcha. And let me try to summarize, and then you two can correct me just like so I can try to understand the different products. So one is just a simple, here's Bitcoin as a down payment or as collateral. You finance a down payment to, or the full value of a house to make a mortgage payment or a real estate purchase. And then the other product is effectively that same collateral account, depending on the loan to value ratio of it, can also be used as a trading account. Is that accurate?
Yeah, somewhat.
I think that's pretty accurate.
You know, the mortgage product has trading functionality, and why that's important is, like, if you did post a large amount of Bitcoin as collateral, you can't sell your house overnight. If you didn't want to have 2 weeks plus of market exposure when you go to sell your home, it's convenient at least to have a way to stop your losses if you are exposed to some kind of market volatility you didn't feel comfortable with. And for the trade and borrow product, that is like a typical short-term collateralized lending product in crypto that is just backed by crypto. There's no real estate involved in that. That's a cash out product. So you actually get, you know, stable coins out of that, which you can do whatever you want.
Gotcha. All right. So that makes a lot of sense. So one is kind of like the suite of the Bitcoin as collateral for a mortgage product. And then the other is you use your crypto as collateral to get USD stable coins.
Right.
Yep.
All right. Makes sense. So I guess this is going to be kind of a tough question, but I'm curious what you two think about this. You know, now that you're kind of delving into this territory, you know, what are kind of like the lessons of the past market blow up? You know, we saw a lot of big companies, you know, in the lending space, you know, go down. Like, what is there to learn from that? And like, how is Moon Mortgage different in terms of your ways of risk management, et cetera?
Yeah, it's a great question. So let's talk about the trade and borrow product. We've taken a super clean and straightforward approach to this. It's arguably almost too simple. We'll basically lend you 40% LTV against the collateral you have in your account. So deposit $100, you can borrow $40 against it. And again, as I mentioned earlier, because of this neat trading functionality, and because we give users the ability to trade their assets, and we can generate trading fees on that, we don't rehypothecate the assets posted as collateral on the back end. So the reason BlockFi and Celsius blew up was they basically were lending out all of those assets posted as collateral. We never do that. It just sits like for like at Anchorage Digital. They're the only federally chartered bank. They're the custodian we use. And so, you know, with us, your assets just sit there, always one for one. There's never any, you know, risk taking on our end. So, you know, it's really just, we protect ourselves by basically implementing a stop loss. So if the value of your portfolio drops below a certain amount, it gets liquidated, and that's how we protect ourselves. And in turn, we protect our customers by, you know, guaranteeing those funds are always there.
Also, as an additional thing, as an additional kind of piece, it's a different business model. So since we allow people to trade and we've kind of come up with the legal structure to collateralize against a portfolio, that there's income derived from trading fees, which kind of abstracts the away to have rehypothecation. So inherently, the end customer has a safer product and something that's more flexible.
So it's a better business model. Aligns incentives is kind of what you guys are saying.
It's just more expensive for us to set up. It takes more time. It took more novel legal work to figure out a way to do all these things. But essentially, yes, it is a better business model inherently from a safety perspective and functionality.
Okay. I mean, I think that's really interesting. So right now, could you tell me, like, the article I read, it said that you are available in 3 states. Is that for both products, or is that just like, can you explain where people can get access to Moon Mortgage? Maybe I'm incorrect with that.
No worries.
Yeah, no, you're thinking about it the right way. So we can do owner-occupied lending for the mortgage product in Florida, Texas, and Colorado, and then investment properties in about 30 other states. That's sort of product one. And then for the trade and borrow product, we can currently provide that in Massachusetts and Colorado. Oh. And we are waiting for our lending licenses to come in, but we'll soon be able to offer that product in Florida, Texas, Illinois, and several others. And of course, we have plans to expand our scope to the rest of the U.S., except New York.
What is that process like? You know, we just saw another company that, you know, went away or couldn't handle what the market was Paxful. And one of the big complaints was, you know, a fourth of our costs and overhead was compliance. What is the process of like getting these banking licenses in the US and being compliant? And how's that process been as a startup?
It's definitely, it's definitely an expensive vertical, you know, in the business, that I would agree that a lot of the costs that we spend on a monthly basis is in compliance. We have to have a full outsource compliance team that works with us on, you know, fabrication of policy and best practices to manage, you know, this effectively, and also be able to apply for licenses and maintain a compliant business. I think even as this scales, the need for compliance and also the cost of compliance goes up, probably exponentially with user growth, just due to the fact that more money comes onto the platform. But it's kind of the devil's in the details. If you want to do something like this, it's just what's necessary, and you know, it costs what it costs. And in a practical business model, it will get distributed to, you know, what the end customer pays essentially. But I think most people would rather pay something that's marginally higher, that's safer, than something that is cheaper and you take inherent risk and what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of lessons were learned this past bull market, that's for sure. So I want to talk to y'all about, you know, kind of about the macro market in general. You know, a month and a half ago, we see SVB Bank and a smattering of other banks go out. We're seeing people talk about these toxic assets. And once again, you know, commercial real estate is one of them. What are you seeing in the market right now? What are you seeing in the areas of kind of like trust in USD and banks? And yeah, I guess, you know, Aaron or Tristan, y'all take it.
From our perspective, we see, and this isn't, you know, restricted exclusively to the last few months, but there's been a shift towards a desire for folks to have and own hard assets. My opinion, that includes Bitcoin and some other crypto assets. It definitely includes real estate. We've seen large upticks in the luxury watch market as well. And I think folks are afraid of being long US dollar, and that's pushing them into alternative asset classes like Bitcoin, like real estate. You know, I certainly don't want to speculate, and obviously none of this is investment advice, but you know, I come from a background in real estate development. I love that asset class. You know, worst case scenario, you can always move into it, right, if you can't rent it out. So it's a really great option for a lot of people, and I think it should be considered as, you know, a staple in everyone's investment portfolio, if possible.
People definitely have real estate FOMO. I'm a millennial. That is a real thing. People want to get a house. They want to move to a place or a house. They think, you know, being a landlord is sexy. It is an attractive thing. They think it's passive income, although anyone who's actually been involved in real estate knows it's anything but passive. It's definitely a hard business where you got to work or pay or yeah. pay. What are y'all seeing in the Bitcoin to real estate market in terms of people who want to use their Bitcoin as collateral?
I think, you know, there's a tremendous amount of folks who want to use their Bitcoin as collateral, especially while the market is, you know, even right now, like 50% lower than it was at the peak. So the majority of folks, especially in our target market for crypto mortgage, who are people that have really amassed a large amount of crypto, they still have quite a large sum of crypto, and they definitely don't want to sell while it's still under the all-time high. And they speculate that they think it's going to go much higher than that, which I definitely believe. So it's really the total number of people who could probably participate in this engagement would be less. However, you know, due to just all the environmental things of us, you know, lining the product up and completing the kind of chicken before the egg style transaction to build this new secondary market, you know, it'll take us some time before the total market size is really a problem for us. So we really see no decline in any kind of interest in this product.
I mean, makes sense. If you have a lot of Bitcoin, you don't want that tax event as well. So it kind of doubles down. Rates are high right now, and there's a lot of anticipation that rates are possibly going to go back down.
Yeah.
What does it look like to refinance a Bitcoin back loan? Is that something that's possible? And maybe even talk about like the rates that a user can kind of expect using Moon Mortgage.
So yeah, it's great to see inflation rates coming down. I think recently it was around 5%. We'll see what that looks like going forwards. Obviously, you know, other rates kind of lag prime, but you know, our rates are, we have a lot of levers we can pull rate-wise. You know, depending on how much collateral users want to post, that can affect your ultimate interest rate. You know, normally we are more expensive than a conventional mortgage, but that's because it unfortunately is, you know, you're paying the crypto tax a bit dealing with this. As time progresses though, and we really, you know, build a name for this type of sort of dual collateralized double asset back product though, we expect rates to come more in line with, you know, conventional rates. Because again, these are like heavily collateralized loans. They'll start off at 200%. I personally would buy this debt all day.
My fellow plebs, come celebrate Bitcoin Winter in Miami at Bitcoin 2023. The largest Bitcoin conference in the world returns to Miami from Miami 18th to the 20th. Head on over to b.tc/conference to get your tickets today. Use promo code BMLive to get 10% off your tickets before prices go up. Plebs, if you're like me and want to gain a deeper understanding of what's going on within the Bitcoin market and broader macro environment, then you need to subscribe to Bitcoin Magazine Pro today. There's a free and a paid version of this daily newsletter where our market analysts Dylan LeClaire, Dr. Jeff Ross, and Sam Rule break down what's going on in the market so you don't have to. Subscribe today at BitcoinMagazinePro.com. As 2023 begins, the broke issue stares head-on into the looming realities of a broken economy, a more broke central bank, and considers how Bitcoiners can share their knowledge, their projects, and their mentalities to remain strong economic nodes throughout the winter. As a global Bitcoin news medium with a mission to accelerate hyper-Bitcoinization, Bitcoin Magazine is for all Bitcoiners, the curious, convicted, and the maximalists. Inside Bitcoin Magazine, you will find exclusive interviews and profiles with leading Bitcoiners, actionable insights on the state of the market, breaking news and cultural trends, and powerful photos and artwork from the best artists in the world. Each issue will be shipped safely in a secure box mailer to protect the integrity of each copy. Print magazines, not money. Buy Bitcoin Magazine.
My personal opinion about Bitcoin is that soon it will become the cheapest debt to you know, feel secure in, and that's going to be the future. Is people are like, yeah, I'll take on debt to get Bitcoin. Aaron, I mean, in terms of rates coming down. Like, let's say interest rates come down significantly. I've already put Bitcoin down and have a loan. Like, what is it? Like, is it possible to refinance? Like, kind of walk me through that logic as if I'm a newbie.
Yeah. So if you were to, it's not uncommon for folks to refi out of mortgages, right? So everyone, you know, typically does whatever they can to buy the dream home they want. And then if rates come down, a refi. We don't currently have a refinance product structured out, but again, because we deal with all of these loans on a case by case basis, we'd certainly be able to help those customers refi into a lower rate if rates come down. It's hard to talk about any sort of specific numbers at this point, though, just because everything is always changing and there are so many levers we can pull. But in structure, it would be quite similar to you know, getting a normal loan with us. They'd still go through an application process, see what their Bitcoin is worth, that's both as collateral or if they wanted to post more as collateral and how much they want to borrow against that.
I know we're not supposed to give business advice or investing advice, but I'm kind of curious, like, it feels like a very weird place in the housing market. You know, I personally think that housing prices are a bubble, and simultaneously, and I think, you know, and that bubble could pop anytime, and things are fragile right now. And simultaneously, I think houses might keep going up for a long time because there's a massive amount of people who want them. It's still in the zeitgeist. It's still safe in terms of like everyone's impression of them, and everyone needs a place to live. So I'm kind of curious, you know, what do y'all make of the housing market right now?
I think it's just kind of like what you just said. You know, there's so many different ways it can go. Even like while the stock market was still ripping, you know, everyone kind of knew that that was not really what it should be doing while, you know, inflation was rising and all these things under the surface were looking a little subpar. But, you know, with the right kind of administration, with the right kind of actors behind the scenes, I think that, you know, these things can stay going for considerable periods of time. And it's very hard to name, you know, where's the top and where's the bottom. If we could, you know, we wouldn't be here today. But, you know, I think it's just like every other kind of scenario where the market's been at kind of a pivotal point in time, where, you know, there's definitely a strong case for it going up. there's a strong case for it going down. We're kind of peering off the cliff, I think, in a way, but, you know, time will tell.
I think something to watch as well is if banks actually roll out the 40-year mortgage. There's been some whispers about doing something along those lines. That'll be really interesting, right? Because ultimately that will make your monthly payments significantly lower and will probably result in real estate prices continuing to rise, right? If everyone can afford a house, there are more buyers. So it's, you know, there's a limit to how much that will help, right? Like we can't roll out a 50-year, I don't know, maybe they'll try to, but there's a reason, like the US is one of the few places in the world that does a 30-year fix. And you know, there's a reason for it. It's a really difficult thing to do. And it means that, you know, our mortgage products are deeply entwined with the global economy because of it. So much debt gets backed on the US housing market. And so that's what I'm watching for. If they roll out a 40, then, real estate prices are going to continue to rip until they don't. And then it's going to hurt.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take a low rate 40 year mortgage if I can. That sounds awesome. But
I would too.
Yeah. In Europe, they don't, if you're above a certain age, they won't let you get a fixed mortgage, a fixed rate mortgage at all. And I think like, it's like, you can only fix the rate for, like, let's say it's a 30-year mortgage. You can only fix the rate for like 18 years or 15 years of that. So it's very different in the U.S. than it is in a lot of places with our 30-year fixed mortgage. 40-year fix, that'd be pretty wild. It'd be interesting to see that. I want to go back to Bitcoin as pristine collateral. So Moon Mortgage, you know, people have been talking about this use case for Bitcoin for a while. As far as I know, y'all are the first ones who are like doing it in this kind of UX directly. Talk to us about this market opportunity, and you know, what inspired you to jump to take it?
Yeah, I mean, the simple answer is Aaron and I had crypto. We couldn't qualify to buy real estate any other way since that was our predominant asset class. We basically had both sides of the underwriting problem, and put us together, we should have made a strong candidate for even an investment property, and couldn't really make it happen. And we could have purchased the property a couple times over, and it just didn't seem right to us. And after, you know, thinking a little harder about it, we really see crypto continuing to rise, and the popularity of something like this arrangement grows only greater and greater. And if you look into like the traditional financial system, you know, stock loans are very popular. It's fairly cheap also for the most part. And why can't you do something somewhat similar using crypto as collateral or Bitcoin as collateral? And it was just a way for us to really leverage what we have to also get an asset that's stable. And the nice thing too is a lot of folks have tried to make, let's call it, yield on Bitcoin. And generally when you try to yield any asset, that there is inherent risk behind it. I think that this is a way for kind of savvy investors that do have a lot of Bitcoin, for a way to almost create some kind of Bitcoin yield in a sustainable way. If you bought a cash flowing property collateralized by Bitcoin, it kind of allows people to make a little bit of extra money and possibly support their lifestyle without having to sell their Bitcoin, which I think it's important to hold your asset, because that's truly how we make more money in the end in the crypto and Bitcoin ecosystem.
I mean, I think that's a great answer, and it makes sense. I don't think that, you know, as much as it's awesome that Moon Mortgage is one of the first or the first, I don't think that that's going to be the case, or y'all won't be the only for a long time. What's your expectation, you know, in terms of timeline for some of the bigger players in the mortgage game to start experimenting with Bitcoin as collateral?
You know, it's hard to say just due to the fact that the thing that kept people out of it in our interpretation of it to this point, you know, since the asset class has been pretty big since 2017 era, let's say, that it's just a regulation. Everyone's very cagey about, especially the traditional financial players who you really need to facilitate this in a really strong way without doing like a DeFi use case or something where it's a lot more fragmented. If you're really trying to do it with the cheapest money available and in a way that's papered and kind of centralized, which you know, that's our thesis, to get all the licenses to do it kind of in the most legitimate way possible, that the regulation, we really see a lot of big companies staying out of it just due to the fact that it probably doesn't make them enough money. The market's probably not as big as, I mean, it's definitely not as big as the traditional mortgage or even some of the niche markets under that, you know, and then that opens them up to a regulatory scheme that they just don't understand. And a lot of people don't understand because also the rules aren't fully cemented about, you know, everything under the sun. And as you guys know, you know, we see a new thing every day in the crypto regulation space. So I think that's really going to keep people out of the space besides more crypto native people. We don't really foresee large companies coming into the space for, you know, the considerable future.
Maybe they'll buy it.
Can I add anything?
Yeah, maybe they'll buy it.
Yeah, maybe that will be the case. So I'm kind of curious, you know, Bitcoin Magazine, we focus on Bitcoin. A lot of our audience, you know, really just cares about Bitcoin, but Moon Mortgage, you know, you're taking other crypto collateral as well. How does like the risk management around, other crypto versus Bitcoin work? Like, kind of walk through, you know, what it goes to in terms of like rates and stuff like that around these different assets.
Sure. So for the mortgage product, we're just doing Bitcoin and Ethereum, both highly liquid. We have confidence in our ability to liquidate and really in our ability that there's a market there. For the trade and borrow, we're starting off with Bitcoin and Ethereum as well, but we will slowly expand that to accept, you know, probably the top 20, top 30 coins. We may have caps on, you know, the amount you can collateralize for other assets. Bitcoin and Ethereum, though, we're quite confident in the liquidity for those markets.
And your evaluation is pretty much based off of like the liquidity of markets and your ability to liquidate the collateral to cover the loan.
Correct.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So the rate is, or the interest rate is not necessarily based on the risk of the asset, but more based on like the borrower and the amount of collateral. And then you're just dealing with highly liquid assets. And so.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So, you know, Bitcoiners obviously think Ethereum is going to disappear tomorrow. I don't think that that's actually going to be the case. You know, who knows, but you know, what if one of these assets disappeared? Like how, do these loans just explode like in default? Like, I guess just to kind of like play out a hypothetical.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough thing to kind of unpack. I don't think we're taking Solana as collateral anytime soon. Just because like that's an illustration of like if the market halts, what do you do? You know, if the chain halts, you can't liquidate, you can't make any transactions. It's not really something that, you know, would work well for us. In the terms of Ethereum, you know, as you mentioned, at least since it's been created, it's been fairly stable, you know, which makes us feel a little bit more comfortable around it. But anything besides Bitcoin and Ethereum, you know, it's hard to say what would happen in those use cases. That's why, you know, the risk management has to be really rolled out very carefully with other assets. And even those two assets, you know, even if it flash crashes, that's an issue. You know, the chain may not be halted, but that inherently causes a lot of problems. So that's something that also is a risk that we're trying to actively think about. Luckily, you know, the larger the chains get, the safer they become from those style of events, but it's always something to think about. And I honestly, you know, the true answer is it's hard to say exactly what would happen. And I think it depends on if it's a halt or it's the chain somehow disappears, which I can't really understand how that would happen from like a technical perspective, besides just instant price drop. But also I don't understand, you know, how you could really fundamentally do that. I could see halting, or I could see some other kind of structural kind of stoppage, which could cause, you know, a tremendous amount of problems. But, you know, I think we're here to see.
All right. And I know that was a little bit of a tough curveball question, but, you know, like to get into the hypotheticals. So want to get into another hypothetical, right? Which is the scenario that a lot of Bitcoin bulls and crypto bulls think is going to happen, which is that Bitcoin is going to continue to increase over time as time passes. And theoretically, if someone used Bitcoin in order to take out a mortgage and buy a property, Bitcoin's value, although volatile, will continue to increase. So for a user, and not, again, this is not financial advice, we're not projecting this, but this is, you know, people assume over a long enough time frame, Bitcoin just continues to go up. So what does that look like if you're using a 30, you know, you're getting a 30-year mortgage? You know, what does that UX look like in terms of the value of your collateral versus your home?
So we should have stated this. So we're starting off with somewhere between like a 1 year and a 5 year interest only loan. Most people are only in their house for 7 years anyway. So the idea of really doing longer term loans doesn't make sense when we're launching this product. When you post your collateral though, when you post your Bitcoin as collateral, I mean, that's your Bitcoin. You get all of the upside, you get all of the downside. So if Bitcoin goes to $1 million a coin and your, you know, mortgage is $1 million and you want to liquidate a Bitcoin to just clear out the mortgage, you know, we make it super easy to do that. You literally just liquidate and, you know, make a payment. So we give users the ability to always maintain control over their assets. You know, we, again, built this product to mirror a product that Tristan and I would want to use. And a big piece of that is supporting that trading functionality and giving users the ability to manage their own risk.
Yeah, also just in the terms of the duration of the loan, those may sound short to most folks, but we foresee a lot of the original use cases of this and more of an investment property vertical. We could also do owner-occupied. Traditionally, in loans that are asset-backed, interest-only loans are quite common. And as we kind of discussed prior, we think rates will go down over the next couple of years. So most people will want to refi out anyways. So we're not trying to extend, you know, a 10, 20-year loan where people are all going to refi out as soon as rates go down. So people are paying for a loan term that they're never even going to really use.
That makes sense. Absolutely. Is there plans to, you know, down the line, increase the loan term, or do you kind of think that this is the sweet spot for the product in the market right now?
I think in the terms of the market right now, it's probably the easiest to kind of execute on everybody's front. Going forward, longer loan terms are probably going to come just due to the fact that that's interesting. Also, one thing we want to bring into the future is more of a hybridized product where, you know, you don't have to have so much crypto and make it a crypto exclusive mortgage to open up the market to people that have less crypto, but they also have traditional cash, or, you know, there's more of a finagly way that they can post enough collateral. And I think those would definitely be longer term engagements. This is more just for these first iterations of loans as we're building this brand new market. It's definitely easier to have a crypto specific product where it's a little less hybridized. But going forward, I think longer term hybridized loans will become more popular because that opens up the scope to people who could really use a product like this.
What does the future of like collateral look like? Is it just Bitcoin? Is it a combination of things? Do you think that art and NFTs will be a part of the collateral market in the future? I'd love to hear what each of you has to say for that question.
And I'm of the opinion that just about everything will be tokenized and usable as collateral, everything from stocks to other hard assets. We had explored early on accepting NFTs as collateral, blue chips like punks, but the liquidity for them just isn't there quite yet. And it would be really quite complex to be able to take an asset like that. That we're always, you know, interested in exploring that as an avenue.
Yeah, I think my answer would be somewhat similar to Aaron's. I think the amount of collateral, regardless of where it changes, whether it's Bitcoin, something else, NFTs, we're going to just move with the market and just try to service the largest amount of customers possible, because we believe, you know, this is really just a service-based business where we're trying to help facilitate collateralization against unique assets. And in the traditional world, you can collateralize against a yacht, you can collateralize against a piece of art, you can collateralize against stocks, bonds, we can go down the list forever. But I definitely think NFTs will be one of the things that comes much sooner than the majority of the other things, due to the fact that the kind of ecosystem and infrastructure is kind of a little bit more easy to grasp from the terms of just a blockchain perspective. And as Aaron said, you know, there is some liquidity kind of hiccups, but we're actively creating solutions to kind of avoid some of those negative use cases and liquidation of NFT.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I'd be interested to hear if there's like any plans to incorporate elements of Bitcoin that actually make it a better collateral. I personally, you know, my thesis is that Bitcoin is going to be kind of part of this definancialization where lesser collateral lose collateral value or value in being collateral to Bitcoin. And there's like elements of Bitcoin which are really interesting, like Lightning, which would allow someone to very quickly and easily top up their collateral in the case that they might face a liquidation or something like that. I'm curious, are there plans either on the Moon Mortgage level or on your service providers levels to incorporate, you know, future Bitcoin tech and, you know, kind of dive deeper into the Bitcoin use case specifically?
For sure. I mean, we think the Lightning Network's great. There is ability to top up your collateral on both products, because obviously that's very important. We don't want people to kind of be trapped in any way, because that's obviously not what we want. And when new things come down the pipeline, we'll try to be on the forefront of the technology. And that's where we are today, really trying to trailblaze ahead. But I look forward to seeing the new innovations that come down the pipeline.
Yeah, I mean, we like to sit on the cutting edge and implement what makes sense as quickly as we can. One of the great things about you know, Anchorage and our other providers are they share that opinion. You know, they are always looking at what's coming next and building for it.
All right. Well, last question before we wrap it up. You know, you mentioned you think that NFTs are going to be one of the things that are used as collateral. Have you been following what is happening on the Bitcoin inscriptions and ordinals interests and explosion?
Yeah, definitely checking it out. I think it's good for the space. You know, I know NFTs can definitely be a divisive subject for a lot of people in, you know, the blockchain space. Totally warranted. There's definitely a lot of things about it that are questionable at times. But I think having NFTs on Bitcoin is a great thing. And people should be allowed to choose, you know, what chain they like, whether it be Bitcoin, whether it be Ethereum, whatever it be. You know, I think the user should choose, and really we'll see in market cap, you know, who really they're voting with their money. You know, people vote every day with their money. And I think that that's just going to take place over the blockchain, and it'll continue to grow. And I'm hopeful that also the people that are using Bitcoin for the NFTs, generally since it's more expensive than most other ways to create NFTs or trade them, that I think that it'll kind of keep the nonsense out of the space and really just cultivate the highest yielding projects.
Yeah, I mean, that has been interesting, you know, at least with the inscriptions, the actual image data is on the blockchain, so that costs more money than, you know, doing like a massive one to many kind of a mint that's possible with other systems. So I do think that that makes for an interesting difference in the actual products. Aaron, anything you want to say on inscriptions?
I kind of love that that's a limitation of you know, the Bitcoin side. Fine art has always been limited. I think it's super cool that we have sets of 10,000, but it's almost, I could see a path where, you know, the really high end stuff lives on Bitcoin and everything else has its own use case and its own specific purposes. So I think it's actually a great feature, not so much a limitation.
All right, gentlemen. Looking forward to seeing you both in Miami. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast again. And I also want to give you both a shout out. Thank you for supporting at the Bitcoin Meetup Network and delivering Bitcoin magazines to, I think, close to 200 meetups across the country. So if you are a Bitcoin meetup and you're getting Bitcoin magazines, it's very much thanks to these two gentlemen for delivering the Broke issue. And I hope many more. They have a cool custom box as well. So thanks to Moon Mortgage. Aaron Tristan, would love to give you each a last word. Let's go with you, Aaron, first.
Just really excited to be a part of the community with you all. You've been super early supporters of us, and I think, you know, I can certainly say for myself anyways that, you know, we're excited to keep building sick products for you all. Yeah, we think the future is very Bitcoin, and, you know, just jazz to be a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, likewise to what Aaron said, you know, thanks for the support, and now we get to support you guys, which is a cool kind of path we went on. We really see crypto and Bitcoin growing over the next few years, and we're really excited to participate in this technology. And we're excited to bring our product to more customers and hopefully change people's lives for the better.
All right. Well, see you both in Miami. To everyone listening, come to Miami May 18th through the 20th. Bitcoin 2023 is going to be absolutely fantastic. There are agenda items already on the site. So a lot of great content, a lot of great things scheduled for the entire Miami Bitcoin Week. See you there. Peace.
My fellow plebs, come celebrate Bitcoin Winter in Miami at Bitcoin 2023. The largest Bitcoin conference in the world returns to Miami from Miami 18th to the 20th. Head on over to b.tc/conference to get your tickets today. Use promo code BMLive to get 10% off your tickets before prices go up. Plebs, if you're like me and want to gain a deeper understanding of what's going on within the Bitcoin market and broader macro environment, then you need to subscribe to Bitcoin Magazine Pro today. There's a free and a paid version of this daily newsletter where our market analysts Dylan LeClaire, Dr. Jeff Ross, and Sam Rule break down what's going on in the market so you don't have to. Subscribe today at BitcoinMagazinePro.com.
As 2023 begins, the Broke issue stares head-on into the looming realities of a broken economy, a more broke central bank, and considers how Bitcoiners can share their knowledge, their projects, and their mentalities to remain strong economic nodes throughout the winter. As a global Bitcoin news medium with a mission to accelerate hyper-Bitcoinization, Bitcoin Magazine is for all Bitcoiners, the curious, convicted, and the maximalists. Inside Bitcoin Magazine, you will find exclusive interviews and profiles with leading Bitcoiners, actionable insights on the state of the market, breaking news and cultural trends, and powerful photos and artwork from the best artists in the world. Each issue will be shipped safely in a secure box mailer to protect the integrity of each copy. Print magazines, not money. Buy Bitcoin Magazine.